Welcome to the Northwood Baptist Church podcast. I'm Tommy Metter, lead pastor at Northwood, right here in North Charleston, South Carolina, and I am so thankful that you are taking the time today to listen to this message. And I do hope and pray that what you are about to hear encourages you, blesses you, helps you to understand the Word of God better, and most importantly, reminds you of how much the God of all creation loves you. I think today's message is going to be a blessing to you. So thank you for listening. And if you're in the North Charleston area, we would love to have you on our campus any Sunday morning at either 9:30 or 11 o'clock. If you're not in the North Charleston area, you can always find us on the web, northwoodbaptist.com. You can visit our YouTube page. You can visit our Facebook page. You can live stream us every Sunday morning at 9:30 or 11. We would love for you to be our guest, either on campus or online. So you're welcome to join us anytime you'd like. We'd love to have you. I do hope that today's message is a blessing and encouragement to you, and I hope that today's message helps you connect faith to life. Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Proverbs. We're continuing our journey through the book of Proverbs that we started a couple weeks ago. We'll take the next several months and walk through this wonderful book of the Bible together, learning more about the wisdom of God that's available to us. And this morning we find ourselves in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. So go ahead and find that in your copy of the Bible. If you're new to the Bible, good news for you, Proverbs is really easy to find. If you'll just open your Bible up to the middle, you'll probably find yourself in the book of Psalms. And if you find yourself in the book of Psalms, go one book over and you'll find yourself in Proverbs. And we're in the first chapter, verses 20 through 33. If you did not bring a Bible with you to church this morning, that's okay, because in the seat before you, down the book rack, you'll find a copy of the Bible. We'd love for you to pick that Bible up and find Proverbs 1 with us. And if you don't own a Bible, we want you to take that Bible home with you. Read it. Learn about the God that loves you and that desires a relationship with you. Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. That's where we are this morning. I know this is going to be hard for some of you to believe, and but it's just what it is. And when I begin telling you this, it's going to kind of, lights are going to go off and all that. But as hard as it is to believe, there was actually a day when we didn't have social media. Can you imagine? Like, there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was no Instagram, and it was terrible because you didn't know what anybody was doing. Right? Like, you didn't know where people went on vacation. You didn't know what somebody had for dinner the night before. You didn't know what their kids were up to. Like, you didn't know anything about anybody unless you actually knew them, right? Like, it was just a tough life. Like, we just, for years, lived in the dark, right? Like, and just didn't know anything about anything. And then all of a sudden, Facebook and Instagram just changed our lives. And now we know everything about everybody, right? Like, it's just kind of the way it happens. Some of us lived way back in the day when it was impossible to Facebook stalk someone. Can you imagine? Like, if I want to know something about someone, that's the first thing you do is you check their social media. There was a day you couldn't do that. And I've told you my story and Stacy's story, how we met and all that. But we kind of met before all of that. And we had one of those things called a blind date. You remember those? Like, that's when you met somebody without actually having ever seen them. Like, no idea what they look like. And that was our story. So we were connected through a mutual friend. We had talked on the phone a couple of times, and we decided to go. You've heard my story. We decided to meet for the first time at a local restaurant in the New Orleans area. And the only thing that Stacy told me to be able to identify her was that on the day we met, at the time and location that we established, she would be wearing a purple shirt. I think she told me she had blonde hair too. I don't remember, but I remember the purple shirt. And so I remember, you know, driving to the restaurant and just praying, God, please let her have all her teeth and all that kind of thing. And you know, but then, you know, thinking back, like, purple's a pretty common color for a woman to wear. Like, what if? What if I talked to the wrong purple shirt lady, right? Like, that could have been a disaster. But all that to say, like, finally, when I saw her come in, she had all her teeth. She was wearing the purple shirt. Like, that purple shirt identified her. There was no way. We didn't have pictures of each other. It was before social media. The only way I could identify Stacy was by the purple shirt she was wearing. She told me that she was wearing a purple shirt to make it easier for me to identify her. I just tell you that to tell you this. You serve a God who has identified himself to you. Amen. Now watch. He, now watch, some of you aren't going to believe this, but it's true. He has made himself easily identifiable. Don't believe me? Walk outside. When you see the majesty and beauty of his creation, you can know, hey, this didn't come here by chance. This just didn't happen. Like, there must be a God who created all of this. In his creation, God has made himself identifiable. You follow? But not only in his creation, in his word, he has made himself identifiable. When we read the pages of scripture and we study God's word, God is revealing himself to us. Our God is a God who has made himself easily identifiable to those of us who are actually seeking him. That makes sense to you? God is easily identifiable, and so is his wisdom. This is good news for you, because every one of us in this room, I know it, you want to be wise. None of us in this room are saying, man, I wish I'd make dumber choices. I mean, that'd be really good if I would just make some dumber choices. None of us do that. No, we all want to make better choices in life. We all want to make wiser choices. We all want to walk in wisdom. And here's the deal too. In this room this morning, you know you need wisdom now. Like, not next week, not 6 months from now. Like, some of us in this room are facing decisions and we're in challenging circumstances. And in the circumstances we find ourselves with the decisions we need to make, like, we need the wisdom of God right now. And the good news is God makes his wisdom accessible to you right now. It's identifiable, it's accessible, it is for you right now. Now, and so in the passage we're looking at this morning, Solomon continues to talk to his son, and he's pleading with his son to walk in wisdom. And what's interesting to me about this passage is that there is a sense of urgency in this passage. Like, now you need to do something. Now you need to make the decision to walk in wisdom. Not put it off, not wait till later. Like, God has made it accessible to you right now. And right now in your own heart, you need to make the determination to walk in wisdom. Now, just remember, we've defined wisdom. Wisdom is far more than just good advice. You can go, you know, to Barnes & Noble, or we don't have that anymore, whatever we have now for bookstores, and you can find books that offer you some good advice. That's not what the book of Proverbs is. The book of Proverbs is not just simply good advice. The book of Proverbs is God's wisdom that's accessible to you. And here's what we said. We've said that ultimately wisdom is far more than good advice. Wisdom, it is knowing. Real wisdom is knowing who God is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is knowing who God is, and it's knowing who you are. And it's living a life in such a way that you make choices and decisions based on who God is. Because at the end of the day, what you want is you want to live your life to glorify God and worship him and obey him. And so you make every decision with that goal in mind, to glorify, to worship, and obey God. That is wisdom. And Solomon is calling his son, his sons, to have this kind of wisdom, and he's calling them to have it now. And I'm calling you this morning as we study this passage together to pursue wisdom now. And so what I want to show you in this text are just two truths I think are going to help you to have that desire to right now pursue the wisdom of God. Take your Bibles, Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. When you have that passage, go ahead and rise to your feet as we honor the reading of God's word together. Listen to what the Bible says. Wisdom calls out in the street. She makes her voice heard in the public squares. She cries out above the commotion. She speaks at the entrance of the city gates. How long, inexperienced ones, will you love ignorance? How long will you mockers enjoy mocking and you fools hate knowledge? If you respond to my warning, then I will pour out my spirit on you and teach you my words. Since I called out and you refused, extended my hand and no one paid attention, since you neglected all my counsel and did not accept my correction, I, in turn, will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when trouble and stress overcome you. Then they will call me, but I won't answer. They will search me, but won't find me, because they hated knowledge, didn't choose to fear the Lord, were not interested in my counsel, and rejected all my correction. They will eat the fruit of their way and be glutted with their own schemes. For the apostasy of the inexperienced will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live securely and be undisturbed by the dread of danger. Father, thank you that you are a God who is accessible. You're not hiding from us. No, as we seek you, we find you. We find you in your word as you reveal truth to us. And this morning we have the opportunity to study your truth together. We have the opportunity to grow in the wisdom of God. And so help us, because we know we need it. We know that right now, today, we need to walk in your wisdom. So help us to be attentive to your voice. Help us to be a people this morning who long to follow your voice, to live in obedience and worship, I ask. Have your way now in us as we listen to the voice of your spirit and ask it in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You can have a seat. So here we are. We are continuing to walk through this first chapter. And just to remind you that the first nine chapters really serve as an introduction to the entire book. I know it's a long introduction, but the first nine chapters of Proverbs serve as an introduction to chapters 10 through 27. And we've also talked about how chapters 1 through 9 are written by Solomon to his son, and sometimes in the plural, sons. So here's what Solomon knows. Solomon knows that there will come a day that one of his sons will be the king of Israel. And as goes the king, so goes the nation. Israel needs a wise king. And so Solomon is pleading with his sons to walk in wisdom. And so Solomon is going to do a couple of things. First of all, Solomon is going to talk about two paths. He's going to talk about the path of wisdom and the path of folly. And you're either on one or the other. There's no third path. You're either on the path of wisdom or the path of folly. The path of wisdom leads to life. The path of folly leads to destruction. Now, as we go through these first nine chapters, we're also going to see wisdom compared to a lady. We're going to learn about Lady Wisdom. We're also going to learn about Lady Folly. And it's as if Solomon is saying to his sons, you need to marry Lady Wisdom. You need to unite yourself with Lady Wisdom. Like, she's the one you need. She's attractive. She has knowledge for you. Like, she is the one. You marry Lady Wisdom. Choose to unite yourself to Lady Wisdom and run as fast as you can and get as far away as possible from Lady Folly. Have nothing to do with her, but pursue Lady Wisdom. And so in chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, we begin to hear from Lady Wisdom. Now, what's interesting in this passage about Lady Wisdom is Lady Wisdom is loud. You follow? Like, she is a loud woman. Not only is she a loud woman, she has some very pointed things to say. But look at what it says again in verse 20. Verse 20 and 21. Wisdom calls out in the street and makes her voice heard in the public squares. She cries above the commotion. She speaks at the entrance of the city gates. Now, just notice those first couple verses, right? Notice that Lady Wisdom, she's crying out. And where is she crying out? She's crying out in the public places. Now think about it. I mean, this is good. Wisdom is not hidden away from somewhere. And wisdom is not in the academic places, hidden in the ivory towers, just for the people who are scholarly or the philosophers. No, wisdom is in the public places where everybody is. And that's good. Because again, we've already said that God has made himself identifiable, and God has made his wisdom identifiable and easily accessible. And here's the picture. Lady Wisdom, she's in the public places of life. She is in the busy streets. She is in the city square, and she is crying out above the commotion. Her voice, if you'll listen to it, if you'll stop and listen, her voice is louder than any other voice. This is good. Because if you think about your life, it's as if you live your life in the busy places. You live your life where all the commotion is. And you know this. It is easy for you to be distracted by the voices of others. It is easy for you to be drawn away by the crowds and the commotion and the busyness of life. But right there, in the midst of all of that, there is a voice crying out, if you will listen, Lady Wisdom is there, and she is crying out for you to hear. All Solomon is saying to his sons here is that Lady Wisdom, this one that Solomon wants his sons to pursue, she is accessible. She is available. You can find her because she's screaming out for you to hear her. Listen, I'm here. Listen to me. And look at what it says. You come down. And what's going to happen in the passage is Solomon is going to contrast, right? The benefits of Lady Wisdom and also what happens when you choose to reject Lady Wisdom. Let me show you, for example. Now, some of this is going to be done in the negative way, but look at what it says. You look about verse 20 and 21, how she cries out, but come down. You come to verse 23, for example. If you respond to my warning, then I will pour out my spirit on you and teach you my words. And so Lady Wisdom says, in the public places, if you'll listen to me, I will pour out my spirit on you. Now, you probably know that that word spirit is the word ruha in the Hebrew language, and it carries with it this idea of spirit, or sometimes it's translated as breath. You know that when we get to the New Testament, that Jesus says that the Spirit of God is like the wind, that the Spirit of God blows where he desires. And so we understand that ultimately, wisdom is found where? In a person, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, Paul says that Jesus is the wisdom of God. And this one who is the wisdom of God, who died for us and rose again for us, he has placed what in us? His spirit. The Spirit of God lives in you, leading you down the path of wisdom if you will listen to the Spirit's voice. But in this passage, Lady Wisdom says that she wants to pour out her wisdom. Pour out her spirit, if you will, gushing. Think about it. It's like when you were a kid and you took a bucket of water and you poured it over somebody's head and that water washed over that person. That's what God desires for you with his wisdom. He desires for his wisdom to wash over you. That's a good thing. But come on down. Let me show you something else. You come down, for example, and you see in the negative sense, Lady Wisdom says, you neglected my counsel, did not accept my correction. You come down to verse 29, because you hated knowledge, didn't choose to fear the Lord. You were not interested in my counsel and rejected all my correction. And so what you begin to gather from this passage is wisdom has something to offer you that many people reject. Wisdom has what to offer you? Wisdom has counsel to offer you. And you need the counsel of Lady Wisdom. Wisdom has knowledge to give you, the knowledge of God. Wisdom has correction. You need God to correct you when you've gone astray. Wisdom, if you'll listen to her voice, and ultimately listening to the voice of wisdom is listening to the voice of God himself in his word. If you'll listen, you can have it. You can have knowledge. You can have counsel. You can have correction that your heart desperately needs. But come back up. Let me show you something, right? You come back up to verse 22, and listen to what the Bible says. How long, inexperienced ones, will you love ignorance? How long will you mockers enjoy mocking, and you fools hate knowledge? You follow? Wisdom is available, like for every one of you in this room right now. Today, wisdom is available for you. But many people, including some of us in this room, we ignore it. How long will you ignore wisdom, you inexperienced? For some, it's mocking. I don't need that Bible stuff. How long will you mock? Or for some of us, it's you hate it. You hate the knowledge of God. Like, I don't want anything to do with that. How long will you hate knowledge? And so wisdom's crying out. She's accessible to all. And she's asking the question, will you listen? How long will you ignore? How long will you mock? How long will you hate? Now, stop right here. When I read about Lady Wisdom in this passage, an image comes to mind. So you know this, Stacy's from New Orleans. I lived in New Orleans for a long time. And when I lived in New Orleans, you know this, what New Orleans is known for, obviously for its food. But besides the food, it is also known for Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is fascinating. And different parts of the city do it different, like where Stacy lived growing up, where in her area, that neighborhood, they would have Mardi Gras parades. They're always real family friendly. If you go down into the French Quarter, it gets less and less family friendly. And so when I was first in New Orleans, a buddy came down to visit me in New Orleans. And on the Monday before Fat Tuesday is the big day, the actual Mardi Gras day where it's crazy. We went on that Monday evening to a parade that was on St. Charles Avenue in the Garden District, a beautiful area. And it had rained. And so all the crowds kind of went away. And so we were there with just a few other people watching this beautiful parade. Parades that have floats like these, right? Like this is the artistry. Now, this wasn't the parade I went to. But just as an example, all the artistry and what have you. And Harry Connick Jr., this was his parade. So you could see him on the float. He was passing out the beats. And it was a lot of fun, to be honest with you. I didn't see any debauchery or anything, kind of those things that you kind of hear about. And so the next day, we decided to get up and go down to the French Quarter to check it out on Fat Tuesday. I mean, the experience we had on Monday night, it must be great down there too. Well, it wasn't great. It was terrible. Like, it was wall to wall. People, we went to Royal Street. Royal Street is parallel with Bourbon Street. Thankfully, we didn't make it to Bourbon Street, but we were there on Royal Street, and people were just everywhere. And the amount of intoxication and all those bad things you think about Mardi Gras when you see, it was true, like every bit of it, like it was horrible. And so about 30 minutes, we decided we cannot stay here. But before we left, we came to the middle of the French Quarter where there's this beautiful cathedral. And in front of that cathedral, there were street preachers there. Now, I don't know what you know about street preachers or what you think about street preachers. Sometimes when you see street preachers, they'll have those signs that say turn or burn or whatever the case may be. These street preachers didn't have those signs. They did have signs. And in comparison to what they could have been, they're pretty mild and actually pretty nice. Like Jesus loves you, John 3:16, those kinds of things. And as I was there in the quarter listening to those street preachers as the crowds were there, like they were actually giving an accurate gospel message. They were sharing the truth of Jesus Christ. They talked about death and resurrection, talked about the need to forsake sin and turn to him by faith. Like they were there in the French Quarter in that sea of people who were intoxicated and doing all kinds of other things. And their voice, if you listened, it could be heard above the crowd. It was there. You follow? Like you could hear their voice. And coming from their voice was what, church? Was truth. Do you follow? Like in the French Quarter on that Fat Tuesday, among thousands of people who came to that place to be intoxicated, to party, to be involved in all kinds of stuff that is not of the kingdom of God, on that day in that place, the truth of God's word was actually there. Are you following me? You could hear it. You could hear it above the commotion. Just like you think about here in Proverbs 1, it was crying out. But as it cried out, people ignored, people mocked, people despised, because that's what our culture does. And if we're real honest, that's what some of us do as well. And so the question is, why? Let's stop right here. Let me show you this first truth. Now I want you to see from this passage of scripture. First truth I want you to see this passage of scripture is embracing wisdom now will save your life. Now I want you to remember as we walk through this passage that Solomon is speaking to his son with a sense of urgency. Like you need wisdom now. Now, not later, but now. And if you choose wisdom now, ultimately choosing wisdom in God's economy is choosing a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you choose wisdom now, it will save your life. In fact, you come down to verse 33, just real quick. But whoever listens to me will live securely and be undisturbed by the dread of danger. If you choose wisdom now, you will escape the consequences of foolish living. Do you follow? You need it now. It will save your life. The question, though, is why? Why do we have a tendency, knowing that wisdom is available and accessible, why do we have a tendency to ignore it? Well, let me give you three reasons why I think. One is you have an illusion of time. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. I don't care how old you are in this room. If you're 105 or 25 or 15 or 9, whatever your age is, every one of us thinks in this room that we have more time. I don't think any of you came to this place today thinking, you know, I think today's gonna be it for me. Like, I think I'm gonna go eat lunch, have a hamburger, things probably gonna kill me and I'm done, right? Like, I don't think any of you thought that today. You came to this room probably thinking, I've got more time. And so since we have an illusion of how much time we have, what do we have a tendency to do? Put off. Come on now. There are many of us in our walk with the Lord who know it, who we know we need to grow in our relationship with God, who know we need to grow in wisdom. But you think things like this. It's a really busy season of life right now. When I get through this season, after I get through this sport or this semester or this season at work, then I can finally focus back in on those things that are important. But what happens is you get through the busy season and then another busy season pops up and you never take the time to invest in growing in wisdom because you have an illusion in your mind of you have more time. Or think about this, especially for those of this room who are young, right? You're in your 20s, you're a teenager, like the lie you believe in your youthfulness. And think about it, Solomon is writing to his sons who are youthful. The lie you believe in your youthfulness is what? I've got more time. And so you make decisions in your youthfulness, not thinking 30 or 40 years out, because why do you need to think about that anyway? You're young. Like, I can do what I want right now, and later on I'll get serious about, once I get married and have kids, then I'll think about that God thing, right? But right now I'm young, I'm gonna do what I want in this season, not realizing, now hear me, no matter what your age is, you need to hear this, not realizing that your choices that you make today, oh my friend, they have a tremendous impact on the kind of person you will become. That's just a fact. Your decisions follow you. And some of you, come on now. Some of you in this room who are older, right? You are still reaping the consequences for choices you made in your youth. You follow? And then, come on now, for those of us who are parents and grandparents, we have a tendency to excuse youthful ignorance. Well, they're just sowing their wild oats. You follow? Or, man, they're teenagers. That's what teenagers do. Or, you know, they're just young and they're young and dumb. They'll grow out of it. Okay, listen to me. Come on. If you're in this room and you're a youth, you're a teenager, you're in college, you're a young adult, your standard, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a follower, if you're proclaiming Christ, right? I don't care if you're 10 years old, 15 years old, or 25 years old. If you're claiming Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, God calls you to the same standard of holiness that he calls me to as a 45-year-old man. Amen. And he calls an 85-year-old woman to. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you're a follower of Jesus, the standard is what? Christ-likeness, period. God, the God of all creation, doesn't look down at your young life and say, you know what? Well, he's just young and dumb. He'll grow out of that. No, right now, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, regardless of your age, is demanding that you live in holiness. And so for us as parents or grandparents, right, let us hold our teenagers and our children who followed Christ, who've claimed Christ, let us hold them to the same standard that we would hold any other follower of Christ to. You follow what I'm saying? Like, you can be 13 and wise. You don't have to be a fool because you're young. Some of you don't believe that, but it's true. You can be 20 and wise. You don't have to be a fool because you're, and you can be 45 like me and a fool because you never listened to wisdom. And that's the point that Solomon is gonna make. But we have this illusion of time. But let me think about this. Why do we ignore wisdom? Well, it's an illusion of time. And for some of us, we've already chosen the path of folly. Now, here's what's going to happen. I need you to come in real close and just think through this with me. What Solomon is going to do over and over again is show us the difference between the path of wisdom and the path of folly. And some of us have chosen the path of folly, and here's why we've chosen the path of folly. We've chosen the path of folly because we like it. You follow? Because here's the path of folly according to Proverbs. The path of folly is laziness. Some of us like it. The path of folly is speaking your mind. Whatever comes to your brain, you let come out of your mouth. You see, some of you like it. I know some of you like it, right? The path of folly is what? Sexual gratification whenever I want it, however I want it. That's the path of folly. The path of folly is using your resources, your financial resources, however you want for your own self-gratification. That's the path of folly. The path of folly is choosing friends not based on the wisdom of God, but just following the crowd because you like what they're doing at the time. And so Solomon is going to tell us over and over again what the path of folly is. And there are some of us in this room that like that path. We've made the decision to be on that path because we like it. Because we like it and because it's an easy path. He's also going to show us the path of wisdom. And now, here's why some of you aren't wise. Because you don't like what wisdom is. Because the path of wisdom that Solomon is going to paint for us or show us in the book of Proverbs is a path of sexual purity. It's a path of working hard for the glory of God. It's a path of being wise in the way you choose your relationships. It's the path of walking in integrity with the resources that God has given you. It's a path of righteousness and holiness and discipline. That's what wisdom is. And Solomon's going to show us that over and over again. And so for some of us, right, we've already chosen the path of folly and we're not willing to count the cost of the path of wisdom. Because purity, it takes work. discipline, right? Using your resources well, it takes work, it takes discipline. Using your words well and not slandering or gossiping, it takes what? It takes discipline and self-control. And for some of us, we're not willing to count the cost to walk the path of wisdom that Solomon shows us in this book. But here's the greater tragedy. Here's the greater tragedy. Some of you daily are choosing to walk on the path of folly because you like it. You like the sexual impurity. You like the gossip. You like the slander. You like the pride. You like all that stuff that's on the path of folly. So you walk daily the path of folly while claiming to be on the path of wisdom. Are you following me? Or you'll say it. Yeah, I follow God. Right? I'm in church. I love Jesus. You'll say all those things, but yet with your life, you're showing that no. What you've actually chosen is the path of folly. And as Solomon is going to show us over and over again in the book of Proverbs, the path of folly, it is no different. It is the same path as the path to hell. Those are the facts. So if you're walking consistently down the path of folly, man, your soul is in eternal jeopardy. And Solomon is saying, regardless of your age, whatever the case may be, like now, right? Embracing wisdom now will save your life. Now, but on the flip side, look, we'll be done with this. Embracing wisdom now will save your life. Go on to the next slide if you don't mind. The second truth, rejecting wisdom now will wreck your life. Come on now. Some of us know this all too well because look at what Solomon says. Again, this is the voice of Lady Wisdom. Solomon is personifying wisdom as a woman who's crying out. But listen to what she says. You come down, for example, to verse 24. I called out, you refused. I extended my hand and no one paid attention since you neglected all my counsel and did not accept my correction. Listen. I in turn will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind and trouble and stress overcome you. All of a sudden now, Lady Wisdom doesn't sound very nice. You follow? Like, hear what she's saying. Because this is the guarantee. Now, think about this. This is the guarantee. Foolishness will catch up to you. Amen? Now, come on. You're not going to get away with foolishness forever. That path that you are on, you are eventually, if you have not already, you are eventually going to suffer the consequences of foolish decisions. Now, remember in the context of Proverbs what foolishness is. In the context of Proverbs, foolishness is not just simply dumb decisions. It's far worse than that. In the context of Proverbs, foolishness is choosing the wrong path. Foolishness is choosing the path to hell. Foolishness is choosing the way of the world instead of God's way. Foolishness is a rejection of God himself. And that kind of life, it will catch up to you because those sins that you love, those sins that you like, those sins will ultimately what, church? Find you out. Amen. Come on now, come on. Think about it. You can gossip and slander as much as you want. You're eventually going to reap the consequences of that because you're going to lose the people that you love because you can't keep your mouth shut. You follow? Or think about it. For some of us in this room who are just stuck in sexual sin, whether it's pornography or something else, you think you've got all that stuff hidden away and nobody's going to know about it. But come on now. It will eat you up and it will eventually come out. You walk down that path, you're going to suffer the consequences. And some of you already are suffering the consequences. Do you follow? Like, your foolishness, it will catch up to you. And when it does, now listen, come back to the text and look at what it says. When it happens, here's what will happen. When foolishness catches up with you, calamity, terror like a storm, like a whirlwind, trouble and stress. Those are the consequences, the natural consequences of living a foolish life. Now, here's the argument that Solomon's making as Lady Wisdom speaks. This argument Solomon is making is that when those consequences catch up to you, do you know what you will not have? Wisdom. Because you never had it. So when those consequences catch up to you and you're in that mess that you created, It's not going to be like all of a sudden you get really wise. You follow? Instead, wisdom's going to look at you and say what? I told you so. Come on. I told you to listen to me. I was loud and clear. You had warning after warning after warning, but you ignored, you rejected. So now you will not have my knowledge. You will not have my counsel. You will not have, right, my correction. Because you made your decision to walk the path of foolishness, and now wisdom is not available to you. Do you know what dumb people are not? They're not wise. You know what fools are not? Fools are not wise. Because wise people do what? Wise people do not walk the path of fools. So listen, this is the argument that Solomon's making. Solomon's making the argument that if you choose to walk the path of the fool, there will come a day that you will search for wisdom and you will not find it, right? Because you've made your bed and now you're gonna have to lie in it. Now that's just straight talk from the book of Proverbs, but it's true, and some of us know that. We've gotten down that path and we realize, wait a minute, I don't know what to do. I've made all these bad choices and I'm suffering the consequences of my foolishness. Man, and you find yourself in that place where you don't have the wisdom to know what to do next because of a series of bad, sinful choices you made. That's the argument. In fact, you come down, he gets even more detailed and explicit when he says, verse 32, for example, or 31, they will eat the fruit of their way and be glutted with their own schemes. This idea of you will reap what you sow. For the apostasy, you know what apostasy is? It's a rejection. It's a denial of God. The apostasy of the inexperienced will kill them. The complacency of fools will destroy them. All Solomon is doing in this text, and he's just warning us, stop, stop, stop. Because now, right now, today, you have the choice that you can make to walk in wisdom. And you can choose today to reject walking down that path of foolishness. That's the argument that he's making. And you know this from experience. You know from experience that none of us, after making foolish decisions and suffering the consequences of those foolish decisions, none of you have ever said on the end of a foolish decision, I wish I would have been more foolish. Right? Like you don't do that. None of you have. No, on the end of that foolish decision, when you are reaping what you sowed, you say what? Man, I wish I'd have listened. Wish I'd listened to what my parents told me because they warned me about this. That person who loves me, who was investing the word of God in me, but I chose to reject that. Man, I wish I would have listened. That pastor, that blonde pastor who went on and on every Sunday, week after week, he just wouldn't shut up. He preached so long. He actually said some things that made some sense. I should have listened, right? You see what I'm saying? Like, you know that this is where folly ends up, in a place of regret and in a place where you lack. And all Solomon is saying is, it doesn't have to be that way. Here you are on a day like today, and some of you have made foolish decision after foolish decision, and you don't know how to get out. You don't know how to take a step of wisdom because you're not wise. But while you might not have wisdom, here's what you can have today. You can have grace. Because now watch, this is so unbelievable, but it's so true. There is grace even for the greatest fool. Amen. Because today, in your foolishness, if you'll make a decision to confess that foolishness and come before God and say, God, I've made a big mess, but I trust that you want to do a work in me. You want to save me. And if you'll confess your sins and repent and turn to Jesus Christ and believe that he is the wisdom of God, that he is the one who in the wisdom of God came to this earth and lived a perfect life. He was never a fool. And he lived a perfect life for you. And then went to a cross and died the death that you deserve. And then rose from the dead 3 days later. If in your sin you will confess Christ as Lord and turn from your sin by faith and trust him, God will save you. He will wipe the slate clean. He will give you a new beginning. And you can start today, right, learning how to begin to walk in the wisdom of God. There is grace for you today, even if you are a fool. And praise God for that. The question is, will you turn? If you're not a follower of Jesus, will you today place your faith in the one who is the very wisdom of God? And for those of us who are followers of Jesus, I think there's just really three challenges to think about as we end our time together. Let me give them to you real quick. If you've been ignoring the voice of wisdom, because this is something we do even as followers of Jesus, we have the tendency to ignore the voice of wisdom and revert back to some folly in our lives. Every one of us, we talked about already, have a natural tendency toward foolishness. So for you, if that's you, right? Real simple. Stop procrastinating. Here's why I know. And this is just truth, right? Some of you have been here Sunday after Sunday for years. I've been here over 7 years, and some of you have been here all of my time here. You've heard countless messages from this podium, from this platform. Not only have you heard countless messages from this platform, you've sat in life connection groups where the word of God was taught. You've been around people who've invested the word of God in you, and you've done nothing with it. If you think about your own spiritual growth, you haven't grown a lot over the past few years because you keep procrastinating. You don't want to do what God has called you to do. You might have a lot of Bible knowledge because you've been around here, but you've been procrastinating and actually pursuing the God that loves you. You've procrastinated in being a part of a discipleship group. You've procrastinated in choosing to obey God and actually do what honors him. You've procrastinated in letting others come alongside of you and correct you and to help you walk with Jesus. You've procrastinated in your walk with the Lord. And it's just a clear warning. Solomon is saying, wisdom is available now. She is crying out, stop procrastinating. Today is the day, so put in the work. Put in the work of making those choices that you know God wants you to make. Put in the work of seeking after him. Put in the work of being involved in a church where you have this desire to humble yourself before other believers and say, help me to grow. Put in the work. And as you put in the work, you can trust God to do a work in you. Philippians 2, 11 and 12, right? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that God is at work in you as you cooperate with the Spirit of God, choosing now to walk in wisdom. God will do a work in you. And so as we close our time together, what about you? Are you procrastinating? Are you putting in the work? Are you diligently pursuing that relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are you content living in foolish ways? Again, what Solomon is saying in this text is it's urgent. It really is a matter of life and death. Do not choose folly. Choose the path of wisdom. And what I have found is I choose wisdom best when I am engaged in my personal walk with the Lord and I'm engaged in the body of Christ. The body of Christ helps me. I mean, I look around this congregation and I see so many of you who over the past 7 years or so, you've helped me. You've given me good counsel. You've helped me to slow down and think through some things. You've helped me to pray better, to dig into the Word of God better. I mean, I think about how much of my life, right? How much of my life is owed to what this church has done for me as I've walked with you. Like, I can't imagine living apart from a faith family. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's something significant about having a faith family. And I tell you that to bring you to this point. This is why, as a faith family, we are committed to serving God together as a covenant family. Today, what we're doing is we are celebrating Covenant Sunday. In your worship guide, you've got a covenant. Go ahead and take that thing out if you don't mind. Get that piece of paper out and let's talk about this for just a minute. It won't take long, but just hear me out. In our first service this morning, about midway back, Pastor Sonny Holmes was sitting there. Pastor Sonny Holmes was the pastor of this church before I became the pastor here at Northwood Baptist. And years ago, Pastor Sonny Holmes led this church to adopt the covenant that you have in your worship guide. And I think it's a really good thing. And Pastor Sonny Holmes led this church to be the kind of church that every single year takes a Sunday like today and re-signs the church covenant. Now, not every church does this. In fact, most churches do not do this. But this was Pastor Sonny and this church in those days. This was their way of saying, hey, we want to make membership in the church actually mean something. Like, it's significant to be a part of a faith family. Watch. It's wise to be a part of a faith family. Now, some of you remember this, right? Some of you, if you grew up in Baptist church, how many of you remember hymnals? Anybody remember hymnals? Like, they're these ancient books that had songs in them with weird notes. It was weird, right? Wild. Growing up, I don't know if you remember this, but in the back of most hymnals, at least in my churches, taped into it was a covenant. Do you remember that? Any of you remember that? Or I'm the only one? Yeah, but here's the deal. While there was a covenant that was in the back of the hymnal we had growing up, we never talked about it. We didn't even know why it was there. But in our church years ago, this church chose to take a covenant and actually make it mean something. Every church, now watch, every church has a doctrine. A doctrine is simply what we believe. We believe very specific things, don't we? About who Christ is. That he is the eternal Son of God who lived and died and rose again. We believe very specific things about the Bible. That it is the word of God. It is truth. We believe very specific things about the return of Christ. That there's going to come a day that he returns for his church. There are very specific things that we believe. What we believe is called doctrine. So think about it this way. Doctrine is what you and I, as a part of this faith family, we say together that we believe about scripture, about God, about his son, Jesus Christ. A covenant is how we choose to live as a faith family in light of what we believe. So because we believe these things in scripture, we are together going to put these things in practice. And we're going to do it together. Now, not only that, but when we sign the church covenant, we are saying that we're going to hold each other accountable in that. Now, I know a piece of paper doesn't really hold you accountable. I get that. But what does hold you accountable is when you get into a life connection group or a discipleship group and you allow others to speak into your life. That's the intention behind the church covenant. It's reminding you of the commitment that you've made to Christ first and foremost, but also to this local church. You follow? Like membership in a local church, partnership, it really is a commitment to one another. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read the church covenant. After I read the church covenant, we're going to pray. And as we pray, you're going to have a time to respond. For some of you, the response is to give your life to Jesus for the very first time, to believe that he died and rose again for you. In the corners of this room are two crosses. Go to one of those crosses. There's someone there today who wants to help you begin a relationship with Jesus. The second way to respond this morning is for those of us who are covenant members of our church. This is for you. If you're in this room and you are already a covenant member of this church, you this morning have the opportunity to remind yourself and to remind us of your commitment to this church by re-signing the covenant. So as we sing together, you re-sign the covenant. And after you sign the covenant, you come and place it in one of these boxes. I would love for you, as you place in the boxes, just take a moment or two and to pray for your church, to pray that God would continue to use us in this community for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are not a covenant member of our church, hold on. This moment is not for you yet. If you're not a covenant member of our church, we want you to wait. Our next Connect North class is June 9th. That's when you learn about what it means to be a member of our church and you walk that process with you and you enter into our faith family. And so the signing of the covenant today is exclusively for those of us who are already a part of this faith family because you're renewing your commitment today to your local church. Does that make sense to you? With that said, look at what the covenant says. I want to read it to you. Having, as we trust, been brought by divine grace to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to give up ourselves to him, and having been baptized upon our profession of faith in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, relying on his gracious aid, solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other. We will work and pray for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We will walk together in brotherly love as becomes the members of a Christian church, exercise in an affectionate care and watchfulness over each other, and faithfully admonish and entreat one another as occasion may require. We will regularly assemble ourselves together to pray for ourselves and others without ceasing. We will lead our families toward a closer relationship with God, do our utmost to educate our children with a Christian worldview and with a pure and loving example. Seek the salvation of our family and friends. We will rejoice at each other's happiness and endeavor with tenderness and sympathy to bear each other's burdens and sorrows. We will seek by divine aid to live carefully in the world, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, remembering that we have been buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in the newness of life. We will work together for the continuance of a faithful evangelical ministry in this church as we sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines. We will contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel to all nations. We will endeavor to engage our culture for the betterment of our society by taking a pro-life stand for the unborn, the elderly of our society, and those too physically ill or handicapped to defend themselves, promoting the biblical model of marriage between one man and one woman, combating the abuse of drugs and the spread of pornography, abstaining from the abuse of alcohol. We will unite with some other church where we can carry out the principles of God's word and we move from this place. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Father, thank you that you love us and that you have given us the very wisdom of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God, you have made your wisdom accessible to us and we can walk in it now. And Father, for that person in this room who's maybe been down the path of foolishness, I pray this morning your spirit would draw them off that path and put them on the path of righteousness, the path that leads to heaven in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And so Father, would your spirit right now be at work in lives of people who need to, for the first time, trust Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. And Father, for those of us who are your followers, help us. Help us to walk in your wisdom. And walking your wisdom, Father, is so much more joyous when we walk in wisdom together as a faith family. And I thank you so much for this church. Think about the amazing things we've seen taking place over the course of 50 years of ministry. For members who've come before us and gone on to be with the Lord, pastors who have led before us. Father, this church has a legacy of faithfulness. And even now, we're seeing you work in a tremendous way as we're able to expand ministry, to bring other churches into the family, to help churches live again, to be a part of a covenant family where we take serious the call to love each other, to help each other grow in Christ, to disciple each other, to reach the nations with the gospel. Father, what a joy to be a part of a local faith family, to have people we can trust in, depend upon, to encourage us. Thank you for this church. I look around this room and the faces of many people that I know well and love. What a joy it is to be a part of this family. And so, Father, we renew our commitment. We renew our commitment to this church because we want to see Christ glorify Jesus. You are the head of this church. We want to glorify you as your body. We want to live for you well. We want to be unified as we just read in our covenant. We want to bear each other's burdens as we just read in our covenant. So, Father, as we glorify Christ, would you help us to do those things well, I ask? We love you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Would you rise to your feet together? I'm going to ask you, if you're a covenant member, to re-sign your covenant, bring it in one of these baskets, drop it in, pray for our church. If you want to place your faith in Christ today, go to one of those crosses. There's somebody there ready to receive. You come now as we have this time of invitation.